Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to the second guest show. Mike Dottiglia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. We're live at the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. Come on by and visit us. We'll be here until 6:30 tonight, and then we'll go to the Saints Radio Network. It'll be our Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show. Mike Hoss will be the host. His guest tonight will be Saints head coach Darren Rissey and Saints defensive line coach and pass rush specialist Brian Young. And then Monday Night Football, Falcons, Raiders, right here on the Big 870.
Well, you say pass rush specialist. You know what I always remember this. Every time I hear his name, Brian, Sean Payton's first game as the head coach of the Saints. We play in the Cleveland Browns in Cleveland. Guess who had 3 sacks in one game? Our pass rush specialist coach.
Brian Young
from UTEP, University of Texas El Paso, the Miners. Brian Young, 3 sacks. I never forget that. I think we won an ugly game. I might have been 17, 13. It was, but you know, we started out 1-0 under Sean Payton, and Brian Young was.
He was a big part of that first win.
Yeah, and he's hung around. He's a homeboy. He's now in New Orleans and been part on the defensive side of the ball. So. He got those guys clicking.
And when Todd Grantham left the Saints to be the new defensive coordinator at Oklahoma State.
Man, he ain't going
to
do nothing at Oklahoma State.
He takes way too many chances as a coordinator. Way too many chances.
I don't know. I think he's overrated. Then he's probably going to hate me. Whatever. I don't know. I'm just keeping it real. But anyway, you know who always keeps it real? Mr. Dave Hilbert.
Give it to him, Dave.
All right.
Great to have you back, Dave. And tell us what's happening here at the Saints.
Oh, man, we almost had an early Christmas present yesterday with the Saints win, but just 1 point away. Didn't happen.
No, didn't happen. Had a chance.
It had a chance. Defense looked good, and Spencer Rattle looked pretty darn good.
Yeah, he was rattling. Like the rattlesnake was coming out that second half. No, it was a tale of two halves. That first half was a debacle.
Oh, that was bad.
But the second half, you know, that was entertaining. That's what you want. I think as a fan, twofold. You want to be entertained and win. But first off, you want to win. And if it's a low-scoring game and you win, it don't matter. But if it's a shootout, and, you know, then at least, you know, it was an entertaining game. Like if you were, I don't know, if you love the NFL and you watching the Bills and the Lions, aren't you entertained how that's going back and forth? So, yeah, it depends what your objective and how you view the game. But I know that first half, that was not NFL football. But it, no, it was for
Jay Daniels. It was a good one.
It wasn't for the Saints. It was nothing to write home about.
And now all the bowl games are here. So, Dave, y'all got them on all the big screens.
We do, man. We got the New Orleans Bowl starting this Thursday, and it's going to be
and Tulane plays Friday.
Why? And Tulane plays Friday. Exactly. So we're going to have a good time here for Christmas. Christmas is coming up. We have Dungeness Crabs going to be here on Christmas Day in the buffet. And also, we have Christmas hot seats, cash hot seats from 5 to 9. Every 15 minutes, you can win.
So Dave, how do y'all have the inside scoop? It's like we're so bad, we nationwide on Dungeness Crabs or crab legs, whatever.
We had a little secret stash put away because nobody on the coast has them right now. There's just too much demand and not enough supply. So,
for your crabs. So that's
we still have several different types of crabs, Jonah crabs, and the shrimp, all that. But
there's one kind of crabs you don't want to have. We have the good crabs here. We have the good crabs here. Yeah, exactly. The Silver Slipper,
the best you can get, man. So it's going to be a great time here. Of course,
tell everybody what you got to give away in the month of December, leading up to New Year's.
Well, gift of the month is it's the Hextech double sided cutting board. Never heard of it, but I know it's super popular. All the moms want it. So you come out here and you can earn get one of those cutting
boards. Still giving that smart TV?
Yeah, still giving away those smart TVs at 7 o'clock Sunday through Thursday, and then the first of the year we switch over to give away iPads every Sunday.
Okay.
And that we've done that before. And that's a big hit. Everybody wants an iPad. And then the last Saturday in December, we're giving away another Mustang at 9 p.m.
So, whoa!
Yeah, man. So it's got it going on. So when it's going to be great here on New Year's, and it's always a good time to be here.
Yeah, I know some people that try to get rooms here for New Year's. You're already sold out.
Yeah, they're already sold out.
It's going to be an unusual.
But come anyway. You don't have to
come anyway.
But Mike and Dave, think about this. It's going to be an unusual for the second guest, because now think about this. The Saints are playing on Monday Night Football, December 23rd. We're here on Christmas Eve.
Yep.
Now, think about that. I don't think that might be the first we've been here on
Christmas
Eve.
It's the first time we've been here. Been here New Year's Day. Yeah, we were here last year.
Yeah, New Year's Day. It all fluctuates and all that. But we're going to be here on Christmas Eve. Now, it's going to be...
we got a doubleheader that day.
Now,
so to speak.
Now, when you think about it, boy, that would be a monumental Who Dat Nation upset if we beat Green Bay.
Bob, Dave,
you think we beat Green Bay on Monday night in Lambeau Field?
No, man, not even.
No, and look at the
point
spread.
You might think about 13.5.
Dave, 13.5. Maybe you might take the Saints in the 13.5, but doubt not when. That would be a monumental upset.
That would be a huge one to pull that one off. Just the way the Packers are playing on defense, that's been the biggest surprise to me, how well they've played on defense. Offensively, okay, you see with Love. They got a bunch of young
You know I love Josh Jacobs.
And Josh running the football.
That's a stud. You're talking about Kendra Miller. Can you be Josh Jacobs Jr.? You want like a role model? How about you follow that cat? Mike, you were talking about why did the Raiders ever let him go?
Because he wanted to get paid, and then I think
the Raiders are stupid. They should have paid him. He goes to the Packers. That dude's a stud.
I think he wanted a little bit more than what face value was. When he didn't get it, his deal was, I'll go to Green Bay. I'll play for a team that I think will get into the playoffs.
Right.
And maybe have a shot at the Super Bowl.
Well, that
and
makes sense.
And when you look at all the injuries Detroit has now, how are they going to survive this? Bob, they are really a beat-up football
team. On the defensive side,
They lose McNeil, and then Montgomery could be lost for the rest of the regular season. Who knows how much longer it'll be before he can come back. That's some big shots that the Lions are taking right now. But,
Dave, you know what's crazy? Mike and I was talking about this. You know, everybody talks about the Eagles, the Lions, the Packers and all that. Oh, well, watch out for the Rams and all that. But I'm telling you what, you know what's hot right now? The Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, you would
figure. The NFC South. Right, right. And not the Atlanta Falcons, but the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Boy, you talk about some.
And that's what we finished with the last game of the season at Tampa. We've always played well at Tampa, though.
That is true. You've always played well there. Let the Falcons lose tonight. Man, all hell go break loose in Atlanta.
Yeah, without a doubt.
To lose to the Raiders, who aren't a very good football team.
Yeah.
So, Blue Bayou.
Yeah, we have live entertainment's back. We're going back old school this weekend with Harbor Jesus and Fire comes back this Friday and Saturday.
Oh!
7 to 11.
Oh, that's
King,
awesome.
King of Fat City.
Harvey Jesus, it's like he's like the Louisiana version of Bob Dylan.
Yeah, pretty much.
Now, he's not a Nobel Prize winner.
I think he's more like Louisiana's John Travolta. That's what it is.
Okay.
Hey, but he's still kicking.
He's still kicking, man.
That's the big part of it.
He's got great outfits, man. You know, got leisure suit on, so... And then the closeout for New Year's weekend, we have Slidell's number one band, Witnesses, here.
So they'll be here for New Year's Eve?
Not New Year's Eve, but the 27th, 28th of... Yeah.
Can I get a witness?
Can I get a witness? Exactly. Come over. You can get it here to Silver Slipper.
Dave, thanks so much
for joining us. Come on down to the Silver Slipper.
We'll be back with more Second Guess right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
We're back here on the Second Guest Show. Mike Dettelia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper Casino, Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. Come on by, get you a square for the Monday night game between the Falcons and the Raiders, and you can hear that game live right here on the Big 870. Let's go back to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. Let's go to Big John in Mid-City. Big John, you in the huddle with Bobby and Mike.
Well, good afternoon, gentlemen. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to you and the whole Houdat Nation, including our good friend Tony, listening down in Australia. Listen, guys, I realize that the Saints are going to have to go through a long evaluation when they start interviewing candidates for head coach. And I am not myself sold completely on Coach Rizzi as the answer at head coach. But let me say that yesterday's game was a major plus in his column when the interviews begin, because the way the offense came out in the first half, just it had me remembering back to that awful 1-15 season back in 1980 when the week after the Saints sent Chuck Muncy to San Diego, then went out and got crushed 40-7 the next week against the Cardinals. And it could have easily gone that way, but rather than that happening, and it probably would have happened under Dennis Allen, Rizzi made the proper adjustments, and I think he made an appeal to the professionalism of the players. And they came out and they kicked some tuchus in the second half. And I think that that's the mark of a coach who commands the locker room.
Well, no, Big John, they played hard for Coach Rizzi. It was a tale of two halves. When you think about that second half, it was like, are we witnessing the right thing? Because, I mean, it was embarrassing, to tell you the truth. And nothing against Hayner, but whenever you're the quarterback, you get too much of the glory, a lot of the blame. But you're 4 of 10, 49 yards, your quarterback rating, 16.2 to be exact. We only had two first downs and 38 yards. I mean, it was like night and day compared to having the first and second half. Now, I wish at times that when you look at it, can the quarterback be more accurate? That being Spencer Rattler, now he was 10 of 21. And you can look at some drops and all that, but he had some moxie, he had some swagger, he hung in there tough, made some big throws, and having a touchdown. But boy, it's amazing, Big John, that the quarterback and the difference it makes. If you look at
sometimes you just got to change things up.
Well, and you look how far like Washington has come. Look at the Commanders.
Four wins a year ago, now they're at 9.
Yes, so now they're 9-5. And, it's how you finish games and all.
Because of Dayton Daniels.
Yes.
A big part of it.
Yeah, no question. Yeah, well, without a doubt, I think I give Coach Quinn, a lot of credit. You know, he did take Atlanta to the Super Bowl. Now he wasn't calling the plays. To me, Shanahan wanted to stomp the Patriots. They just ran the
win.
Ball. They wouldn't. Tom Brady wouldn't have had that great comeback, but we loved it, 27-3. and then they were able to have the miraculous comeback. 28-3. So, when I look at if you'd have told me this, Big John, before the game, and I think Coach Rizzi might have commented on this, that we're only going to give up to Washington 20 points before the game, I said I would have taken that. We're going to win the game. Because the reason why I say that, the five wins we have this year, we've held our opponents to 20 points or less. We were 5-1, now we're 5-2. So I think we did enough to win, boy, but it's going to be a whole lot different. Even as optimistic you are, maybe you are with Washington, that's a different animal with Green Bay and Green Bay come Monday night.
Yeah.
And you look at that point spread.
It's going to be some cold weather. Cold weather.
No, and the last time we played the coldest game ever, we beat Cleveland with Deshaun Watson all, but Cleveland, Green Bay's not Cleveland.
They got a little bit more time.
Yeah,
I'd say
Green Bay's not Cleveland.
No,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, but let me say, look, I agree wholeheartedly with Coach Rizzi's decision to go for two. And, you know, usually the rule is when you're at home, you play for the tie. When you're on the road, you go for the win. But given the record and everything and where you are, you go for the win. Now, I would have called a run with Kendre Miller because I thought that he was at a point where he would have run over his grandmother to get in the end zone. But that's why I'm a Monday morning quarterback rather than a head coach or an offensive coordinator. But let me also say, I agree with you too. Juwan Johnson needs to make that catch. And that goes to a much bigger thing, is that in the next three games, obviously the season is all but over for the Saints once the end of the regular season comes. It's not going to be playoffs. You got to be a professional football player. You're making a lot of money. And, you know, everybody was getting their hackles up about Rizzi chewing out players on the sideline. And I'm like, this ain't Pop Warner League. There's a lot of money that goes into playing punter and lineman and cornerback and everything. You got to do your job. And if you're going to check out for the end of the last three games of the season, you're not going to, you know, go all out to make that extra catch. You're not going to be playing in the NFL because Jerry Glanville said it best. NFL stands for not for long when you're not doing things like that.
Well, you're constantly being evaluated, whether it's the Saints or the other NFL teams. You got to be a pro. You got to be mature and to be able to handle the circumstance. You can't be. You know who's not a pro, and he's a veteran guy. How about that 49ers? I'm just going in the locker room. I'm not going to play. Man, I tell you what, I don't know how that dude was raised. Is he an idiot? I mean, you want to be a pro, and you're not, okay.
Look how hard you've worked to get here,
okay,
and then you're
going to
walk away?
And he says, I don't necessarily want to play hurt. But then, okay, then don't play the next game.
But you got to finish that one.
Yes, if the coach tells you to go in that game, you got to go in that game. Now, the next game, you might not play. Now, that's behind the scenes. You can't be that out in the open. I'm not going in the game. No, that Campbell, I mean, come on, dude. You want to be an NFL player? No, that was totally wrong. That's two things happened this year. I don't know now, in the 21st century. What Anthony Richardson did, I'm too tired and all that. Okay, and then what Campbell did.
I didn't think anything could top Richardson, but I saw it.
I cannot even comprehend that. I mean, I don't know. I can't even really comment on it because it's so ridiculous. I mean, you're not a pro. And then when you go in the real world, get a real job, then you're gonna wish you'd win that damn game.
Yeah, well, I think what Anthony Richardson did was the sign of a young quarterback who was obviously was not really prepared for the NFL. You know, he only played, 13 games in college and all that, and then suddenly he's a first-round draft choice. I mean, that's something that you're going to have to learn as you get older. But what Campbell did, that's beyond the pale. And, I mean, that's you know, the whole locker room's now against him. And I think, he got a three-game suspension for that?
Game suspension out of it. And I think then they'll say, okay, let's evaluate things afterwards. But I understand the injury part, but you got to finish the game. You can't walk away.
No.
You can't walk away
from
that.
What you do, you finish that game. Now, you might not play next game, but you finish that game. And I can tell you, they'd out and out and cut him if he couldn't play. That means he has talent.
He can play.
That means he has talent. Exactly.
He is a very talented
guy. That's why
guy.
We're going to suspend you for three games.
Thanks for the call, Big John. I appreciate it. Before we go to break, Sacramento State has spoken to an army of candidates to be their new head coaching because their head coach basically left to become the assistant head coach, defensive coordinator, linebackers coach at Stanford.
Right. And it's not that far away. Sacramento, Stanford, you know, Palo Alto.
And who they've interviewed? Michael Vick.
Oh, Michael Vick.
Michael Vick got an interview.
It's the new version of Deion Sanders, I'm telling you.
And a lot of people say Sacramento State. You know how much people at Sacramento State have put up for the NIL? $50 million.
Sacramento State got way more money than LSU.
Now, they have...
Now, some people might not want to believe that. But
okay, sadly, when we talked about it on the show, people, that's no way. Sacramento State got six billionaires. You can bank it. They got six.
Okay, Mike, I'm going to say it right quick. SMU has 11. Texas has 10. Texas A&M has 10. Michigan has 9. Ohio State, USC has 8. And then you can go Penn State, 7. Georgia, 7. Tennessee, 7. Sacramento State, 6. And that's where you graduated from.
So six billionaires. And not all those people are chiming in here, but to have $50 million in the NIL fund?
Hey, listen, LSU is going to be working their behind off to try and get to $20 million. It might be 16, 18, or 20. I'm just telling you.
And they will be accepted into the new Pac-12 eventually.
Well, yeah. I mean, they have that
with stroke. That kind of stroke.
Yeah, the money talks. And you know who else has power? And they have the stadium, Mike. And when you think about it, they got a great stadium, but they're not the Rice Owls. Rice. But look, they had a Super Bowl there. You remember the Vikings played the Steelers
the
whole 80-some thousand?
Yeah.
They have six Fortune 500.
They got cash
the
there.
Yeah.
Think about.
Now they always know that they're for baseball.
Yeah. You know. SMU, Texas A&M, Texas, Rice. All in the state of Texas. Think there's some all money involved there?
Yeah.
We'll be back with more Second Guess right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on the Second Guess Show, Mike Dettillo along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. We're at the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. We're going to go to our Oakwood Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. We'll talk to Zach Nagy, who covers LSU football, basketball, baseball for Sports Illustrated. Zach, I know you haven't had nothing to do over the last week or so, so we'll bring you on just to kind of give a little update. But wow, in the last 72 hours, LSU has really been busy in the transfer portal and getting guys that I think 5 of the 7 they have signed were in the top 15 of the transfer portal when they had the list.
Yeah, no, first off, I appreciate you having me back on, as always, Mike. And the list just keeps on growing. You got the number 2 cornerback, the number 4 edge, a top 10 receiver. You name it, they got it. So roughly 5 of the first 7 commits are top 100 players in the portal. Ryan Kelly and the rest of the staff are really just working wonders right now. And he said they were going to be really aggressive. He's putting his money where his mouth is, and he's doing it right now. He's really impressing a lot of people and going and getting those immediate impact guys that this program has been looking for.
Zach, one of the things it popped in my head, bringing back Austin Thomas. I know it's not coincidental. This team has put a big emphasis on the transfer portal. Austin was with Coach O for a while and helped recruit that class that eventually ended up winning a national championship. How much impact you think Austin Thomas returning to LSU has had with this team?
Yeah, I don't think the addition of Austin Thomas is talked about enough. And I think you're going to begin to hear his name a little bit more over the next couple of weeks, next couple of months. It's a pivotal addition. We saw him do what he needed to do at Ole Miss and create them into one of those powerhouses in the portal. Fast forward to now with the 2024-2025 offseason, and we're seeing him do it again in Baton Rouge. So he's a pivotal piece. He helps kind of work all the behind-the-scenes action as kind of a general manager-type role, and he's showcasing it right now. It's on full display, and it can't be understated just how much he's done for this program.
Now, how do you view what's come about now in college football? I think I was somewhat surprised. He was behind the scenes, but then got to the forefront, Andrew Luck with Stanford. And he's almost like the general manager for Stanford. He's like in charge of the head coach, name, image, and likeness, and everything. And then you look, Belichick going to North Carolina.
He's got Mike Lombardi, a guy I worked with for
years. Right, he's
going to
run that like an NFL team. So you think that's where we're going, where it's pay for play, so it is somewhat like pro football. I want you to comment on that. And if you think a different university might take the approach like Stanford or maybe what North Carolina's doing, and But how about, okay, how is the fan base going to be? And they might be all in, okay, I'm willing to name them Gelinas, I'm willing to participate. But Ole Miss, you know, they all the money they put up, you know, they thought they were going to be in the playoffs, and they're not. So what if all of a sudden you're putting up the money and you're not getting the production?
That falls on the head coach.
You think you're going to have disgruntled fans and all that, and then all of a sudden it goes, oh, well, I'm not giving that until we win. So it's kind of a catch-22 when you look at that. But obviously, if you're winning, then people don't have a problem maybe participating. But if you're not winning, go like, well, why am I giving all this money? Just comment on that. I know that's a broad statement.
Yeah, no, Bobby. I think it's a really good question. And I think you kind of sit back and look at these new, like, general manager type roles. And you're looking at a salary cap now. And I know that you guys are very, very aware of how that works at the next level. And you're going to start to see it come more into effect in the college game as well with revenue sharing in the mix. You're going to begin to kind of have to work with this set amount of money and try to rebuild and construct a roster from there. So it's an interesting dynamic in that point. And then, of course, you look at NIL and you look at Bayou Traditions and the collective and the money that fans can give, et cetera, that go towards building a roster. It's an interesting time. And I think you are kind of hitting the nail on the head there where, look, if a team's not winning, you're not going to want to put money towards a team that's not winning. Or you can look at it in the other perspective and say, well, look, my team's struggling right now. I can put up some money and really help them build a roster. And that's kind of what we're seeing with Brian Kelly and LSU right now. He was really transparent on National Signing Day, talked about what they needed to do, talked about the money that they needed in order to rebuild the roster. He talked about how relationships were one thing, but you can have a relationship for so long and then have a team come in the 11th hour and give millions of dollars like we saw with Bryce Underwood, Cade Phillips, et cetera. It's no longer all about relationships. It's about money as well. And Bobby, like you said right there, money comes into the mix as well, and that's where fans come in and can kind of help out with this program in order to continue recruiting at a high level.
Zach, two guys I'll get your take on. I saw him play at Kentucky, Barry and Brown. Speed's never had a bad day in its life, and he got it. As a receiver to return, man, your thoughts on Barry and Brown, and also the cornerback that they got a commitment from, I think, mid-afternoon, Mansour. I think it's Delane is how you say the last name. The cornerback from Virginia Tech, he's played 3 years at Virginia Tech, and Mansour, man, he's had 6 interceptions, but 4 of them came this year. So your thoughts, I think those two guys can step in and be immediate players. I'm talking about starting players at LSU.
Yeah, no doubt. When you look at a guy like Barry and Brown, that's an instant impact receiver, a wide receiver one type guy that you're looking at. Like you said, speed obviously doesn't have a bad day, and he's kind of lightning in a bottle. He leads the SEC all time in returning touchdowns with 5 as a kick returner. So this is a guy who's kind of a Swiss Army knife. He can come in and become a fantastic receiver, but he can also kind of make an impact as a return specialist as well. We obviously have Xavion Thomas, Aaron Anderson, et cetera. But now you add a third guy in the mix, and it just makes you even more impactful in the special teams game, which is a spot that you've seen LSU struggle from time and time again during the Brian Kelly era. So Barry and Brown is a Swiss Army knife who can come in and really impact the game in a myriad of ways. And then you look at Mansour Delane. This is a guy with double-digit pass breakups. Like you said, 6 interceptions, 146 tackles on his career. So he's had a stellar 3-year career with the Hokies of Virginia Tech. Now you fast forward and he can level up, get to the SEC. This is an instant impact guy. And he can get in the defensive backfield in multiple spots. This isn't just a cornerback. Despite being the number 2 rated cornerback in the portal, I mean, he can really come in here and really be used in a lot of different spots in the defensive backfield. So Corey Raymond put on his recruiting cap, had him come in this weekend, was in on Sunday, and really just didn't let him leave until he committed. And ultimately today he went public with a decision. And that's about as big of an addition as it gets for this program. So Barry and Brown, Mansour Delane, those are the two big ones so far.
The tight end, Bauer Sharp, I was telling Bob, first time I saw him, he was at Southeastern. I knew he was a former quarterback. They had transferred him to play tight end. He did a really good job for the Lions. Then he goes 1 year to Oklahoma, and now he's with LSU. He led the Sooners in catches this year with 42. I'll get your thoughts on Sharp and also Jack Pyburn from Florida. who last year, man, coming off the edge, he's a good-looking athlete that knows how to get off bigger blockers. He's got good closing speed to the quarterback. Your thoughts on Pyburn and also Bauer Sharp, the tight end, formerly at Southeastern, OU, and now a Tiger.
Yeah, Mike, starting off with Bauer Sharp, this is a guy who can be an impactful piece, kind of using his versatility. He can help in the run block, but he can also use his hands as well. Like you alluded to, he led the Sooners in receptions on the year. He was a fantastic piece in that regard to a struggling Oklahoma squad, of course, but nonetheless, he was an impactful piece. But Brian Kelly talked a lot about his physicality and how he can help in the run block game. Obviously, we saw that piece of LSU's offense struggle in a really big way in 2024. You throw in Bauer Sharp as a guy who can come in, be kind of utilized in a couple different ways, really have him come in there and shine as a run blocker. That's what LSU needs. That's why Brian Kelly went and got him. You'll likely see the program go out and get another tight end as well on top of Bauer Sharp. And then you look at the other addition in Jack Pyburn, Florida edge rusher, who really had his coming out party this year with 60 tackles, et cetera. I mean, he was fantastic coming off the edge. He's quick, he's twitchy, he's energetic, and he comes in as a guy who can start on day one as an edge rusher. You lose Braden Swinson, you lose Savion Jones, you got to go out and get some edge rushers. Brian Kelly and the staff have done just that with Jamari Butler. And now Jack Pyburn, they're really, really filling a lot of holes. And those two guys are some pivotal pieces in this class so far.
Well, I'm hearing you and Mike talk about a bunch of different players. What about the damn O-line? I don't know. I'm kind of worried about the offensive line. Is that? You know,
I think that's an area they're going to hit too, Bob.
No, because fans tell me.
God has played center before.
Because you look at both the tackles are going pro, right? And then the center also. What's y'all take on the O-line?
Move DJ back to guard and get you a guy that's played center.
Okay.
I don't know how Zach feels, but that's my thought.
You're spot on. And not to interrupt you guys at all, but, I mean, you're hitting the nail on the head right there as well. You need some offensive linemen. You're losing four starters. Garrett Dellinger, Miles Frazier going pro. Will Campbell, Emory Jones foregoing their final seasons of eligibility and going pro. Your only returning piece you got is DJ Chester at the center position, who was honestly and obviously your weakest link up front. So, like Mike said, he's spot on. You slide him over back to his natural position of guard. You go out and get a center in the portal, and all eyes shift to Virginia Tech center, Braylon Moore. This is a guy who has ACC experience with Virginia Tech. We obviously saw his teammate commit to the program today. I think all eyes turn to Braylon Moore to see if he'll commit to the program. He's a guy who was in town on a visit. LSU's really turning up the heat for him. But, Bobby, you're spot on there as well. You got to go get some help, go get some depth at the offensive line position, specifically at the interior offensive line position. And that's definitely a spot that they're kind of honing in on right now.
Zach, a final question for you. I didn't know that they could land Barry and Brown. I'll be honest. They had a host of teams looking for him. The one guy that stuck out to me, Nick Anderson at Oklahoma, and I look at his body of work. He's a big, tall receiver. He's got some speed. He got hurt early in the season and then basically missed about 80% of the season. But as a freshman, he was really impressive, and he's got speed. And he's got some size, and he can get downfield. What's the chances of LSU landing Nick Anderson?
Yeah, Nick Anderson's the full package, Mike. This is a guy really broke the record at Oklahoma as a true freshman for receptions, touchdowns, you name it. 38 catches, nearly 800 yards, 10 tutties. He was fantastic as a redshirt freshman in 2023. And now you're starting to see LSU turn up the heat for him. He's in the portal. There are a lot of suitors, Texas A&M, LSU, et cetera. Everybody's swinging for the fences here, but when it comes down to it, seems like LSU's got the edge here. We'll see what happens down the stretch, but LSU has really positioned themselves well for Nick Anderson out of Oklahoma. We were talking about a speedster in Barry and Brown. You got a speedster in Aaron Anderson, Xavion Thomas. You got to go get that tall possession receiver, that physical receiver. Nick Anderson fits the mold. We'll see what they do, but that's a 6'4 giant who can go up and get it. We'll see if LSU can seal the deal there, but they very well position themselves for him.
Zach, I got a feeling that you and I are going to talk again this week. So I appreciate your time tonight, and thanks for all your insights on the new transfer guys going to LSU.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate both you guys. You have a good one.
Thank you. Zach Nagy, who covers LSU for Sports Illustrated, and he ain't getting a lot of sleep, Bob, because, man, they coming in fast and furious, and you think about six guys of the seven have signed in the last, or committed or signed in the last 72 hours.
No, it's going to be, Mike, how the roster changes year to year. I mean, you're going to have to get
you
a
better
program.
Be now, ready for it.
Now, who's this? You're looking at the program. Who's this cat? Look at that guy. I like him.
We'll be back to finish it off here in hour number two of Sports Talk, second guest style, right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Closing out here, hour number two of the second guest show. Mike Dettelia along with Bobby Hebert, live at the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. We come back. It'll be our triple option feature. And at 6:30, we'll throw it to the Saints Radio Network. It'll be the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show. Mike Haas, Darren Rizzi, Brian Young, who coaches the defensive line, also the pass rush specialist. We'll be back right after this news break here on the Big 870 WWL.